This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi, check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Hey, Cliff, good morning.
Man, I really needed that music to get me going this morning.
Did
I needed
you?
That, man. That was better than a cup of coffee. I'm dragging, buddy. I'm dragging.
I'm going to have to play some Wake the Dead music to get home this morning,
something.
Man. I pulled all-nighter.
Yeah, I've been doing that too, man.
I could not go to sleep last night.
Yeah, I have those nights, man. I just do when you get my age, you live life between the doctor's appointments. So that's what you do in my life, you know. But anyway, it's all good, Mickey. I got in starting this morning with Jeffco, and I was trying to hear that something happened with Jeffco in a fight or something, and then I heard the other one. I've been missing all these boat fights.
No, it's that charter captain in Punta Gorda, the tarpon guy over there, got in a ruckus with a another fisherman under a bridge, and he get there in time. I don't know. And then the lot went on, and then he boarded the kid's boat, and it got ugly.
Oh, no. God.
So he's been famous on social media for about 3 days now.
I hadn't seen it. I got to look at it. I got somebody sent it to me. Man.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't in Galveston. Nothing happened in Galveston. That was
no, it wasn't nothing like that here. That's
gosh, you know, it's so funny. All these years of fishing, I very seldom ever get into it at all. I've had much more surfing. Let me tell you what, I've traveled
surfing,
a lot.
Surfing too, huh?
Let me tell you what, dude. You pull up on somebody's turf, and you're from somewhere else, and you're in another country. You got to tiptoe through all that stuff, you know. Then you got to find out who kind of rules the reef there, and you got to get in good with him, or it's a fist fight, you know. So sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you got to fight it out, you know. So it's funny how many dang fist fights we got over a stupid wave. You know, it's crazy. People are nuts, especially young people. But it's good.
Well, it's gotten
worse just been blowing
these days
down here, man. Yeah, and we're having that big state champion surfing contest down here this weekend.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that surf is huge. So
I bet it is.
It is rocking down here. The waters came in, and it's up to the sand dunes, and they got they're doing a deal for John Olvey, which he passed away. He died of a heart attack here on the beach, and he's a legendary surfer here. He's also an artist. He's probably one of the best artists in the United States, and some of his paintings right now are just unbelievable. I look at some of the paintings he did, and golly, it's just amazing how good he was. But they're kind of honoring him on that surf contest thing.
Sounds
so I
like
think
a talented guy.
Yeah, he surfed for years. He's got probably 70, 75, great shape, really into his church. And he comes in for surf. We're all surfing. He comes in from surf, and he's pulled up in his car right there, and he's sitting inside. You know, everybody's sitting around the beach. He's eating a peanut butter sandwich. And all of a sudden, there's a car in front of him, and he's got his foot on the gas. He's hitting the back of it, just pushing it. The car's revving up. He's just digging. We knew something was wrong. He died of a heart attack. He's eating that peanut butter sandwich. It's awful, man.
Boy, I ate one the other day. I'm glad it didn't kill me.
It didn't give you a heart attack, thank God. I know. You better have something to drink, right?
Really?
That's good.
No joke.
That's good. But our fishing, so this is what it's like it is everywhere. You're just limited where you can fish, you know. So I got to fish a little bit earlier in the week, and it's the same old thing. You're just dealing with a small section, but there's so many fish. It's good to have so many fish when you're limited to where you can fish, because sometime when the fishing is really poor and you get something like this, you can't really get to where you need to be where the fish are. But the leftovers are good enough to make a day on. That's what I'm telling you. It's that good, you know. So we're able to pull up on the east side or get up in a pocket somewhere and still catch some really nice fish and redfish and, you know, just stupid. But
good.
One of my buddies next to us caught a fish the other day, I think it was Tuesday, that was 31 inches, only weighed 7 pounds. finally get a really big one, he said. Finally caught his fish over 30, and it weighed a little over 7 pounds. But just, you have those fish like that, you know. That
yeah, you do.
You know, just right in the middle of a big old fat toad, you'll have one of those. But our fish are, it's funny because they're hitting suspension baits. You know, even in this rough wind, if you can find an area that's got a sand bottom, and that makes you really pay attention to your bottoms and stuff so you have high wind areas. For instance, you have a shoreline that has a lot of sand points. Well, in the belly of that, in the pocket of those points, The dead grass stuff really blows in those pockets, but it also makes the points clean because you have a current coming across a point. And so the best thing to do is stand on those points, and you'll catch flounder, trout, reds coming across those sand points. But if you can't see the bottom, it's really dirty, and you happen to pull into an area, and you're throwing to a bunch of dead grass in the bottom 2 or 3 foot, it's too acidic. It has too much of that powder acidic in it. The fish aren't there. So the really cool thing to do is the right thing to do is really pay attention to where the big sand pockets are, then fish those up on these windy days down here. It really pays off. And drift fishing is so hard when it's so windy, you just can't slow the boat down. And so that, you know, this is the time when it's really windy, you almost got to wade fish. And that was part of my problem this week. I had some people that were 87, 80, almost 90. And so we couldn't go a couple of those days. They just couldn't. You can't wait them in those. Just too rough for them, you know. So, and when you're old, you end up with old clients, you know. So that's
well,
all good.
I'd like to. I wish I could. I hope I can make it that long.
Oh, I got a couple Mary and Lynn Adams. He's 92 and she's 91, still chunking plugs with me. Unbelievable.
Isn't that
just something? Incredible. Yes, they've been with me for 40-something years. And it was so cool. So I was just going through trying to purge some of the old pictures out of the shoe boxes, trying to get rid of all the stupid pictures you keep, you know. And I run into them 40 years ago, the picture of those people. And I go, golly, look at
how
this,
about
man.
That?
Look at all those fish we got hanging up, and look how young we are, man. You know, like, golly. I just can't believe
that's the part I don't like, is looking at what I used to look like compared to what I look like now.
Hey, man, you stick anything out in the sun, as long as you and I have been out in the sun, it ain't going to look good.
Yeah, but there's all other kinds of changes, too. It's just, you know.
Oh, I'm just now
the
trying
older
to realize,
you get, the uglier you get. That's, you just got to face it. So you just get uglier as you get older.
It ain't. I never was. Hey, it doesn't hurt. I never was good looking. So what the heck? You know? But it doesn't hurt nothing. You know, But anyway, it was so funny. You know, thinking about all this. I go back and I'm pulling stuff out of the shoebox. I look at Marker 37. Oh my God. You got pictures of people holding up fish and stuff, and Marker 37's in the background. That right. thing was like a little bitty shack, right. you know, little bitty bait house. And mostly commercial guys ran in there, and Ernie was in there, a couple guys. Only one guy in there, me, and then Joe Mendez. Just a couple of guys in there. And they just absolutely did not like us. I mean, we were fishing guys. I mean, they liked us and everything, but they gave us a hard time, you know. Then they realized, you know, after they started getting more guys, we were a lot of their profit was, you know, from selling all the stuff in there and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the pictures of the boats and stuff sitting in the stalls with the old 140 Johnsons on them, and there's only two or three lifts there. They didn't have any lifts on them. They were just like little slips you pull your boat in there. And, of course, Snoopy's was nothing. The little restaurant was just had Snoopy's written across the top. It actually was a biker bar when they started out, a bar. And Ernie goes in there one day and clears it all out and starts cooking shrimp in there and gets his license to cook. And that's how that started. And, you know, he sold it three times. And so the new owners have just evidently got deep pockets because they're really, really expanding that place. But it's my little under the bridge place has really changed. You know, under the JFK Causeway used to be really mellow. Now it's like Grand Central Station. You can't even get in there on the weekend. You know. And I'm sure you've seen it up there too. God.
Oh yeah, that's it. We've come a long way in a short while.
Yeah, I know. And so, you know, the problem we're having it on this side of the causeway now on Market 37. So, like I said, the marina's closed down on the other side. So these guys are bringing their boats in at 7:30 in the afternoon and tying them up to the dock, so they have dock space in the morning. Well, at 3:15 in the morning, there's no dock space left for anybody. No place to tie off for anybody coming to 37. So what a problem that's going to be. It's nuts, man. And that dock's not that big.
No, it's not.
And the oysters, and so now that Packery Channel's open, the oysters are all growing inside that marina behind, you know, behind the pier there. And so they have this idea that they're going to be able to dredge in behind that pier. First of all, they're having a hard time getting a permit now that the oystery stuff are there, you know. So the dock space is very limited. You know, they've taken up a lot of it with boat lifts. And so it's getting to be a real problem here. I can't even imagine in the summer what it's going to be like. So I'm hoping that they'll open up some more ramps here somehow.
I'm not aware, though.
Yeah, I know. In the public ramps they built, they didn't build them right. You can't get your boats in most of them. You know, they're either too sleek, or it's just that nobody had an engineer on that. So it's typical Corpus. It's you know, but that's what makes it great. It's never going to grow. They don't have enough water to make it grow or anything. So it's pretty good.
Running out of real estate.
Yeah, amazing. Running out of real estate, man.
Mm-mm-mm. Who'd ever thought that down your way?
Oh well, I know it. It's crazy. They're building
not
stuff
all that
out here
range you got y'all's Corpus Christi Lake come up any?
A little bit, Mickey, but a lot of it wasn't in the watershed. You know, they had, you know, rain around it. It came up from, I think, from 16% to 17%, which isn't a lot.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, we had 4.5 inches at my house, and some of the areas had 9 inches, 9 or 10 inches out there. My son's got a place up on the lake there. He's got 22 acres up in that little creek there, and he got some rain. He really needed it. he's planted a bunch of trees out there, and he really needed the rain. So it was a blessing. You know, it's, I think everybody needed up here, settle the dust a little bit.
Well, what's going to happen if that lake goes dry?
Well, this is the deal. So they got this idea that they're going to drill all these wells along the Oasis River, and they're going to reopen these wells that had been drilled many years ago. Well, they're corroded. They're not. None of them are working. True. And so they finally drug one new well to trickle in the river. So they're doing the resalinization. Like, yeah, they're doing the resalinization deal, you know, and all that. But they're way behind. They're you know, it's funny. You know, we better get some rain. And we'll be out of water in a year if they don't.
Man.
So, but as somebody coming into, you know, here with a business, like they're building all these new businesses here, and right. Everybody just kind of shut down because of the water thing. So you see all these giant foundations just stopped right now. You know, okay, we're stopping right now and see if we can get some water. So,
well, they better get to work on that desalinization plant.
Somebody better get some shovels and start digging
a
hole.
Get on with it. You bet.
Oh, man.
All right, let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Hang with me. Well, you know, folks, approximately 70% of all fatal boating accident victims drown. And out of that 70%, 87% of them were not wearing a personal flotation device. You know, a PFD, it's like wearing a seatbelt. It's the biggest safety feature proven to save your life. And Onyx AM24, that's the one I wear. I really like it. It's comfortable. It's convertible from automatic to manual or manual-only inflation. And the low-profile design, it keeps you comfortable, especially in hot weather. And it has a soft neoprene neckline. It won't rub you raw when you're moving from spot to spot in rough water. It has a durable ripstop fabric. It resists tears and punctures. Inflatable PFDs are not recommended for children and non-swimmers. But Onyx has a complete lineup of flotation devices to fit every situation. For more information, visit onyxoutdoor.com. Or you can check them out at Academy Sports and Outdoors. I wear Onyx PFDs. You should too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:20 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are back at it.
All right, buddy.
All right.
I want to make a shout-out for our old buddy Mike Greger. He had been in the hospital, and I think he's getting out today. Just want to shout-out to him, our old buddy there at Johnny Sports Shop. So
what happened to him?
He had a stroke and wasn't real bad, so he's coming out of that. You know, he's had some health issues, but, man, what a great guy he is, man. So yes. Glad, that, Mike, that you're coming out of there, man. It's funny because last week I had one of my guys throwing that Eddie Douglas lure, that, you know, little broken back that has the yellow spots on it, gold, the yellow spots.
Yeah,
I know you've seen it.
He takes the red fins and custom paints them.
Yes, and, yeah. You know, and that guy has caught so many fish. And, you know, I've had those baits and for years, you know, Mike has brought them down and give them to me, and I've had them. And I had a guy on my boat the other day, fished them all day long. I was amazed how many fish he caught on them. You know, and I got to start trying.
On the back hook.
Yeah, they just like that thing, man. And, you know, just I wonder if those trout and redfish think, you know, those little spotted crabs we have, you know, they don't get very big. I just wonder if they think that's what that is, something. But there's something about that bait. They just smoke it, man.
I don't know. But you know how many fish we kill with red fins over the years, whether it was straight backs or broken backs.
Yep.
My gosh.
And, you know, I still have guys that's all they'll throw. You know, it's funny, you know, and even the bigger broken backs like we used to throw. And what was so versatile about that broken back is, you know, you have a non-fisherman doesn't fish, they can just cock the rod 45 and reel it in and pause it every once in a while, and they'll just smoke it. You know, and then you got the guys that know how to twitch it, know how to work it, and just like your straight back, you know, it's all about the working it down and let it float back up. But
I used to work mine to the theme song of Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver, yeah.
Yeah. Get that earworm going and work your lure.
Yeah. I always had this guy, you know, we called him Nick Knack. So when he'd throw a topwater, he'd say, Nick Knack, Paddy Whack, give the dog a bone. He would pause it, you know, like Nick Knack, and he'd pause
it. This old man came rolling home.
And I'd say, dude, can you sing that to yourself over there, you know, getting here and tired hearing it over there. It's all good, Mickey. But, man, I got the coolest package of lures the other day. So Mike Herring's a big surf fisherman, too, our buddy Mike. And he fishes the surf a lot. And the last few years, he's been crushing these fish on the little heavy dine, the one that they make that's heavy. I know you've seen that one. It sinks pretty fast.
No, I have not.
Hard
bait or soft?
It's a hard bait. It's just like a little Meridine. And it's a smaller side, but it sinks faster. Got rattlers in it. And he had Eric there at Merlure make him some custom ones. And he was nice enough to send me a couple of them. I just hope a shark doesn't eat them. But it's kind of the electric chicken color. It's more of a pink, and it's got spots, rattlers. It's it looks unreal. I can't wait to throw that thing. But the amount of fish he's catching on that is unbelievable. So what happens to us down here, we get stuck on top water. We'll start fishing the surf, you know, especially Greg and I. We'll fish it all morning on top water. And then, you know, we'll just get tired and go home. A lot of these guys stay out there, you know, with mirror lures and soft plastics and Meridines and stuff and catch them all day.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what those Meridines do in the surf. Wow. And I know you guys use them up there in the surf. That's where Mike is catching them. Yeah.
Yeah. When you can fish it.
Why? Because of the grass?
Very few times, you know, in a year.
Why is that? The grass or what?
It's just too rough.
Too rough?
Rough and muddy. Mm. Mm-hmm. Y'all surf can be rough as it can be, and you still got clear water up here, man.
It's
pretty bad.
Well, it's funny because I said something about Matagorda. Anybody catching any big fish in Matagorda? And I got some great pictures. I got some guys that send me some great pictures of some fish in Matagorda, so I was happy.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys sending me that. I love those pictures, man. But I saw some nice 7-pounders caught in Matagorda, so evidently they're catching some good fish up there.
Yeah,
what's happened here, we've had so much social media on our fish. It's so crowded in some areas now because these guys are showing where they're catching them, and some of these places, there's 30.
Don't think about
nuts.
The background. I mean, anybody that fishes down there or even knows that bay halfway, I mean, they can look in the background and know right where they're standing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I just quit sending pictures and, you know, that stuff. It's nuts. But, you know, it's so funny how impatient some of these guys are. You know, you're sitting there, you got your guys down, and you're waiting up, you're lining up, and they'll pull off to the side and watch you. If you guys don't catch nothing in 15 minutes, they're out of there. And it's so funny how you'll walk into the fish here. So you're in dead water for 5 minutes, and you'll walk 50 yards, and boom, 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 everybody lights up, and you'll sit there for 20 minutes and catch them out of that school of big fish. And you just hope nobody's watching you when you walk in like that, because this is what's going on. When you watch there's so much bait moving down the shoreline. You can see these schools of fish moving through, you know, and you may be in the dead zone right now, but the fish on the move, you can stand there and they'll come back around you. But on a dead calm day, no current between the currents, when there's no current at all and those fish are sitting, you've got to walk to them. And that's really watching your current. In the front of these high tides, you're pretty much able to stand on the shoreline and let the fish come by you. But on a neutral tide, especially going out on the slack, you really got to move up. You really got to move up and down the shoreline. Big difference.
Yeah, it always helps when fish are moving and they're active like that.
Yeah, and what the south wind did, Mickey, it was a blessing because there were so many fish stacked up in Gladys's and in the north end of Mansfield, and they stage up there. And so these 2 or 3 days of 48-mile-an-hour straight south wind has made a 15-mile current in the land cut. Well, those fish are getting sucked into that current and blown through our bait system. So
you're riding this the current with the bait.
Yes, sir. And this is what I call a feeder wind.
Not to mention all that fresh water, too.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that might be what the doctor ordered.
It is. It's going to change out. And every time this happens, we start seeing our crabs again because, man, our salinity gets so high, we lose the crabs. They move out in Corpus Christi Bay. And then we get a big rain like this. Those little bitty gray, we have a crab hatch or a crab molt, and these small crabs will come in. Don't think those trout don't eat those crabs, buddy. You know, trout and redfish eat small crabs. It's just amazing amount of bait and shrimp we have in our system.
And the mullet.
It's just getting ready to come.
Y'all got a lot of mullet too.
And I can't wait till the wind dies down where I can fish deep structure, because even if my shorelines are getting hammered, man, these fish are still in this deep structure. 5-6 foot of water, you can't wade with the trolling motor, you know. So that's what I like, is when they get in that deep structure, you know, and you're using, you know, suspension baits, and they just knock them out of your hand. That's some of the most fun fishing there is.
You've experienced it, buddy.
Yeah. And don't think I don't have my mirror lures ready to go this year, Mickey.
Go 7Ms?
Oh, 7Ms, I got them going now. I just got an overload of what to throw. I go in the garage, and
these days. There's too much to throw.
Overload. What do you throw?
Yeah.
They're having an island-wide garage sale this weekend. And so, or I think it's next week, whenever it is. And so the whole entire North Padre Island is going to have a garage sale. In other words, you set it out front, they will come. You know, so I'm going through the garage, and I get all these big boxes of lures. Okay, I'm going to get rid of these. And I go back there and I put them back on the shelf. Like, oh, I can't get rid of those, man.
Can't part with them, man.
Such a hoarder, you know. Just
is near when a man starts parting with his hunting and fishing stuff.
Oh, that hurt. Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of stuff given to me from old timers like that, you know.
You too,
I'm
buddy.
The back of my mind, I'm going, man, I guess this guy's fixing to give it up.
Yeah, I just hate that, you know.
I know.
You know what happens to me, too, is so I fish with several guys for 20, 30 years. They become my friends, and I know their family and go out to eat with their family, their wives and stuff. And Dr. Lasseter passed away a few years ago fishing with him for a long time, you know, and his wife, Teeth, she brings over these guns that Doc had written and put a sticky pad with my name on them and says, on my death, I want you to give these to Cliff. And he did that, like, 5 or 6 years before he passed away. And I tell you what, it's just heartbreaking to know that he was preparing for it. You know, it's just like, oh, then you shoot the gun. You know, I was dove hunting with one of the guns that Doc gave me. And it's just like, how you sit there and you're sitting there between birds. You're thinking about all the times you had with him. So it's just, it's amazing how you got to enjoy that little space you got in time and enjoy your friends and stuff. Cause it's going fast, buddy.
It is.
So
once you get over 70, you're just living on borrowed time, man. I mean, it's
I appreciate living this long, because a lot of guys didn't have that chance. But you know, and also it's just you got to take take advantage of the days that you're good, that you feel good in your health, you know, do it. Don't sit around the house because there's going to be days you're going to be laid up. So that's what I'm learning now. Okay, man, so I'm feeling pretty good right now.
You go do it and all that, and then you'll have your lazy days where you lick your wounds so and recover and get back going again.
Yeah, I'm just about to get this back out of the way and all the other issues, so I'm ready to get going again. You know, it's just like, God, I've been running about 60%, so I'm ready to get up on there around 80-90% where I can get it, you know. It's hard to sit in a boat and watch your guys fish, Mickey. It's really hard for me. And a lot of guys can do that, but it's so hard to sit there and watch your guys catch fish.
I want to be out there amongst them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to be ripping lips too, man.
Yeah, and you know you're a sick puppy when they're out there catching 14-inchers. You want to get out there like, what? They're catching dinks, man. Go pick them up and move. You know, it's just like.
I know. Still a bite's a bite, man.
Yeah.
And setting the hook.
I agree. You know, and Doug Bird would talk about these windy days is the time you catch your flounder. You know, you think that you're going to catch these flounders on the drop-offs and the channels and stuff after the front stuff, which you do. But these flounder are staging on these sand points in this high wind. And it's amazing. They'll get on these points. And Doug was a master at standing on these points, you know, and fishing heavy lead heads and getting the flatties on the sand, you know. Because the land cut usually has a lot of flounder at this time of year, but you got to deal with the current. The currents are so strong with the wind, you just got to catch the right day to get them in there.
Right now.
Yeah, it's really smoking, but it's just sucking our fish in. And you know, it's just the direction of the wind here. So it's a big difference between south and southeast. You have a lot more to fish, a lot better fishing on southeast than you do a straight south.
Right.
A straight south, if you can get to the South Shore back, and that's the problem is getting over there and getting back. You know, that's the problem over there.
Boy, we've had some nasty boat rides back from that place back in the day. Oh, man.
Oh, I've swamped some boats in there. I mean, I cannot believe I made it, you know. Oh, you know. And you hear all these nightmare stories of guys coming across there and the console coming off their boat, you know, and all kinds of stuff. Back in the old days
with garbage boats and stuff like we
Yeah, they screwed the consoles down. Yeah.
Caught down there and having to come all the way back.
I know you have to come home and screw the console back on.
Oh,
you know, that was the crazy stuff. They screw them down and come home, the whole console.
Then we had to use a Phillips screwdriver. Put the muzzle
you carried
into
one
it.
In the back.
Now you got screw guns.
We carried some of that white plumber tape that you wrap around stuff, you know, that white Lexus tape,
Teflon
whatever
tape.
That stuff is. Teflon tape, and I'd wrap it around the screw and screw it back in there, and then I go buy one size over screw after about 6 months and screw that in, you know. And then they figured out, hey man, we can fiberglass these things down, like duh. So they finally got it going, but. And like you said on the radio, 140 was a stud motor. You know, everybody had 140s.
Boy, yeah. I remember my first 140 Evan Rude, big, pretty blue one. Man, I thought it'd run. It's nothing now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at some of the boats in this last tournament. We were looking at some of these boats, Mickey, and putting a price on some of these boats. You know, there was hardly any boats in that tournament under $80,000, $90,000. I mean, even the older boats, most of them are over $100,000.
Yeah, and some are a couple of hundred thousand.
Oh, yeah, or over. But, boy, they caught some good fish in that tournament. Man,
yeah, they did. One. Boy, that was some impressive weights. Man. Both days, even day two, caught some big fish, man.
I know. It's incredible.
Isn't that something?
It's so good because some of the really good guys, you know, that are really great fishermen could not catch one trout. They zeroed on the second day where they'd have been in there. And that's just the way it goes. You know, like Jay and I were talking too, you know.
We've all done it.
You know, Rihanna had that day where she didn't catch a fish down there. And Jay told her, says, look, man, I've done the same thing. We've all done it. We've all zeroed, you know, and that's just the way it is. That's just this fishing. You can't make them get that. You can't get that bite unless it happens. It's got to happen. You know, you can't make it happen. You got to let it happen.
Well, and you can't let it get you down, break your confidence.
Can't let it get you down. Can't let it get in your head. You know, so
you just got to get madder at them.
Get madder at them is right. But
boy, I get PO'd when I can't get a bite going. It's so aggravating and nerve wracking. You know what you're fishing, and you know where the fish are, and you can't get them to go. Boy, I'm ready to chew nails.
Yeah, and then you let it get in your head, and you overwork the bait.
Well, if it ever gets into your head, you're done. You might as well put it on a trailer.
And that's why I tell these guys, you know, see, first thing of all, if you got a 7.2 reel and you're fishing a tournament, you go back and get the 5.9 or the 6.3
down. That's exactly
slow things
right.
down because you're overworking it. You know, that's exactly what you're doing. You're pressing, so you don't think you are in your mind, but go ahead and get that slower reel.
Well, the darn clock is ticking. And
yes.
You know,
you don't
you go, man, I don't even have one fish in the live well yet, and man, mm-hmm. I got no. 2 hours.
Getting in your head.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
You start working fast and making mistakes and just, oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chad's tournament, everybody has to catch their own fish, so two of your buddies got their fish early, and they're waiting on you to catch your trout.
Oh, it happens a lot.
Talk about pressure.
Two guys are catching all the fish, and that one guy, he's just looking for one bite and can't get it.
Yeah.
That's pressure.
That's the way
man.
It works, too. Man. I pulled a picture out of the shoebox the other day, and it was a very special picture. When I had my second heart attack, it was the weirdest deal. It was many years ago, like 14
You've
years
had
ago.
A heart attack before?
I've had two of them. It ain't no big deal.
Really?
But, yeah, one surfing and one fishing. But anyway, so I'm not feeling that good that day. You know,
I'm learning
above,
more
you know.
Every day about you, buddy.
I'm good, dude. Ain't nothing. Heart attacks ain't nothing. You'll get over them. But anyway, so
some
it's no big
don't.
Deal, dude. Some people have a hard time with them, but, you know, it's what it is. You know,
their first was usually their last one.
Yeah, well, I figure God's got enough old fishing guys out there. He's kind of got a lot of room for any more right now. But
got a plan
anyway,
for
some,
you, man.
So there was this big, big mud gut. It's really cold. It's February. It's a big mud hole. And my guys are over there. I said, dude, there's some big fish in this hole. I caught them yesterday, and there's some toads in there. You guys got a fish. I'm feeling really bad. It's in the morning. I'm not feeling good, you know. And these guys are throwing that hole, and they catch one like 6 pounds, nothing. And they're just not doing it right for them. I just get irritated with them. And the main guy's got a backlash. And so he threw the corky out, and I see him over there, you know, picking. I just can't stand it. So I'm going to take him a rod. And so I grab my rod, and it's got a fat boy on it. I step out of the back of the boat, and I walk over to give him my rod. And about that time, he pulls that line. He pulls it all out. He's getting it. All right, get it, man. Well, I'm already over there. You know, I might as well cast. Mickey, the first cast I got the picture, a 9 3/4 pound, 31.5-inch trout on the first cast, right where they're throwing. I swear, man. And so I reel it in. I give the fish to him. He takes the picture with my fish. I still got it. I walk back to the boat. I get back to the boat. I'm feeling bad. And that night, I have to go to the hospital and get a stent in. But I look at that fish, and I call it the stent fish. I said, I caught that fish.
That
man.
Fish almost killed me.
That dang fish almost killed me, man. Golly. But anyway, that was.
Hang on, man. Let me knock this
break
out.
All right, man. Sorry. All right.
Hold that thought. That's funny. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse. Croakers are located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. If you need more info on the oxygen response, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, they've always got a great selection of wild-caught guff shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's, and it's crawfish season, and we're right in the middle of it. And Boyd's is crawfish headquarters. So if you're looking at buying crawfish by the sack or having them already cooked, you can't beat their Cajun Grill or their Santa Fe location. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:42. Let's go back and talk some more with Cliff. All right, Cliff.
All right, man.
The heart attack just fish.
My heart attack fish, yeah. So, you know, it's funny how as life goes on, you pretty much go through all the deals, you know, all your health issues, and if you come out on the other side, you come out, you know. And, I'm hoping all that stuff's over. And, now it's just the old age, the joints and your body just, man, it's amazing how the wear and tear gets on your joints and 40 boats or whatever it is, 45 years of fishing, all the pounding in the boat, your joints, you know. So it's all good. At least we're still out there, Mick. I think when we quit, when we just stop doing stuff, it's really going to be bad. I think you just got to keep rolling.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think so, too.
Just don't let up and stop.
You know? Got to keep moving, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I look back at all those older guys, you know, that once they stopped fishing and guiding, they didn't hang around very long. It's just like, man, I think I'm going to try to fish till the end if I can. If anybody can go with me, as long as I find my way back. I figure
we'll die doing what you love, man.
Yeah, it comes to the point you can't find your way back. I'm pretty sure they'll have a deal that'll get you home when your GPS says, "Hey, man, I forgot where I am. Take me home." But kind of like your truck.
Well, I hope when they find me floating out there, I got one about 14 pounds on my stringer.
No kidding, man. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Be a good way to go, wouldn't it?
Yeah. A while back, you know, a long time ago, I was talking to Fred, a good friend of mine. He knew this guy that was tarpon fishing over the, I guess it was Louisiana by himself, and he just disappeared and out of that boat. And he was a real famous guide out there. And you never heard nothing else if they ever found that. You know, that was about a year ago. If they ever found out what happened to him, he must have got pulled over by tarpon. You know, you kind of wonder.
Oh, you're talking about Robbie?
Robbie, yes.
Man, that's still a mystery. That's still a mystery.
They ever find out what the deal was on that, Mickey?
They just think
they never found a body or nothing.
I mean, all his rods were in there.
Yeah.
But the trolling motor was still running, I think it was, and lines were out. And
he fell over in the boat, curled away from him.
I just can't see Robbie doing that. I mean, it's a weird deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a good kid.
I've been jerked out of a boat by fish before, you know, offshore. I've been jerked out before, you know. It's not fun. You know.
Well, it's just a mystery. Only Robbie knows.
Yeah, I know. That was one that bothered me. You know, I think Fred knew him real well. You know, Fred Adams.
I mean,
knew him real
well. He had too good a sea legs, and I just don't see him doing that.
You know, you just can't go fishing alone anymore, Mickey. That's, you see a lot of stuff going on. You just don't go by yourself, man.
We've all done it, and I don't like doing it anymore. I did it the other day. I couldn't get anybody to go. Everybody was working or busy, and
one of my buddies that lived up on Lake Michigan, Greg, lived up on Lake Michigan, he would go out on that lake in the winter, and man, it got down below zero. I mean, something happens to the motor, you're going to die. I mean, you know, he said you might as well take the battery out and grab the battery and go to the bottom with it because you're not going to make it in. You know, if something happens to the boat, you're not swimming. You know, you're not swimming to the shore, no matter how close it is. So at least here when, you know, I'm out in Bathurst Bay, something breaks down, I'm going to get eaten by mosquitoes a little bit and drift up on the beach, you know, but not going to have to worry about freezing to death, you know.
Yeah,
I guess our biggest.
We see that happen with duck hunters, you know, up my way.
Yes. Uh-huh.
A few years back, a kid lost his life like that. A hard norther blew in. I mean, they were duck hunting the bay, and they dropped a duck way out. It was too far for the dog to go get it, so he got in his flat bottom to run out there and get it. Well, he never came back.
Oh, God.
I think a wave swept that flat bottom. I mean, he was in that cold water and
sure
he didn't have a life jacket on. Probably had waders on and, you know, heavy jacket. And that was the end of that. That was a bad deal, man.
Now, I remember I had this guy in my boat, Ken, I think's his name, that put his boat in at Stingray Point before that big front, and he got stuck in that flat. Remember, and he stayed there for 3 days walking in circles. Remember that story?
Yep.
And if he wouldn't have been in such good shape, he wouldn't be here. But he was a professional.
He was died of hypothermia and everything else.
Yes.
Man.
I think he was a professional trainer, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason that I think he was Ken or Kent, something like that. But God, what a great guy. But that was a great story.
How that story.
He stayed there and he was he couldn't lay down or anything. He was in like 6 inches of water and hypothermia, so he's had to kind of walk in circles, you know, to try to keep warm for 3 days.
Can you imagine?
You know, golly. That's when you wish you might have would have put another layer on. But anyway, golly.
Well, you get wet and it's cold. I don't know how many layers you need. It It's not going to work. You're still going to be cold, man.
No, sir.
That's kind of dry when it's cold.
Yeah, that's what you kind of learned is I take a big old trash bag and I'll put a bunch of extra clothes and stick it in the bow of the boat in case somebody gets wet or something just to get something on them until you get in, you know, because I had a guy a few years ago. It was really a cold day, and we were in some really big fish, and he'd unzipped his wader, had a zipper, and he unzipped it about, you know, a foot to get his phone out of the pocket to take a picture, and he forgot to zip it up, and he stepped in a hole and just totally drenched his waders. And we thought he was going to be okay. He zipped it back up. He had that water kind of warming in there, man. After a little while, I looked at his face. He is blue, dude. And so we had to get him back in the boat and take him in. But I think the air temperature was right at 35, but it was one of those kind of wet.
Oh, that's too cold, you know, to be wet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We had to get him back, you know. So you, I don't care how much you got under there, that's going to chill you out.
You know, Blaine and I and another guy were wading together one time over in East Bay in the winter. And it wasn't real cold that day. It was in the low to mid-40s, but the water was real cold. And, man, we're catching some beautiful fish and throwing mirror lures. And Blaine's wading, you know, kind of in the middle. I'm on the outside, and we're sweeping the shoreline. And he stumped his toe on a big pig ear sticking up, big oyster a cluster of oysters.
Uh-huh.
And went in head first.
Ooh.
And luckily for him, under the bow of my boat, I had a pair of those Walls Blizzard coveralls. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. And,
I mean, he was purple when he got back to the boat, but he stripped down and put that Blizzard suit on, and that saved his bacon.
Oh,
man. Because, I mean, it was cold, buddy.
Yeah, we used to carry an old snowmobile suit back in the day. We had
that's kind of what this was, you know, like the Walls coveralls where they zip all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those will save you.
And it better be cold if you slid those on, buddy. That's back before Gore-Tex and all this good stuff we got down. It's probably still probably warmer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Truth was known.
That's something. You know, one of my clients, the guy I was talking about, left me the shotguns. Also left me a real old set of wool, solid wool pants and shirt. It's real thick wool.
Yeah,
I'm amazed how wool will warm you up. When I carry that in the boat, I'll stick that wool stuff on. That is something else. But it's heavy. It's heavy under your
cold
stuff,
sheet
man.
Before?
Seen a cold sheet? No, I haven't.
They don't get cold.
They don't get cold, do they? That's good stuff. Oh, no. Yeah, I'll tell you what. So I think what's going to happen after this run, Mickey, we're going to have some really good fishing. So I got some really good guys on Monday and Tuesday. And I'm hoping they're going to say it's going to be 10 to 15 like they're saying.
Yeah, I hope it'll blow out quick, you know.
You know, because what's happened now, this wind has stirred everything up, you know, stirred it all up, got the bait going, got everything around the rocks, and nobody's been on them. And the burn boats really can't do anything right now. So we should have some really good shoreline fishing on Monday and Tuesday. And
yeah,
most of our guys
my stuff
here
will settle out. It's, man,
yes.
It's, my base tore up from the floor up, man.
I bet it is, man. And, you know, most of my guys, our local guys here, are still sheephead and drum fishing. There's not very many guys. You know, Joey's trout fishing, Joey Fair, and a few other ones are trout fishing, drifting, doing whatever they're doing. But a lot of them are still just going right here at Packering and getting their sheephead and drum. And, you know, they're back in. And everybody's gone time we get in. But that's all going to change. Pretty soon they'll have to get out there and you know, get after the trout and reds.
Well, they're calling. They've switched up this forecast. I mean, it's still going to be windy, but it's going to be northwest winds now. They were calling for north.
Mm-hmm. So God, I don't know. I wish it was more
northwest. Mm-hmm. That's really going to dump a lot of water for us. It'll
dump a lot of water
way
too.
Out.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny how many more areas you had to fish in the north than you have a northwest here. A northwest can dump the water out of Alazan, flow down both shores, trash it. So a north, it just kind of stays in there, just kind of neutral, and it allows you to fish to all the shorelines and stuff. But I'm hoping we can get in there and start to be some, you know, the fish are there. It's just a matter of getting to them.
Right.
But I'm really excited to see what dumped in from Mansfield. This little blow has got to dump thousands of fish into our bay system.
Yes.
And they'll turn the corner there at Penascal and just run all down that south shore. They'll just fill up Alazan. And this is the time the Alazan gets real full. We've had our major big bull tide, and so it allows all the areas in Alazan to get enough water on them to get up on the flats and the sand for the fish to get up there and stay up there. you know, with the lower tides are having to move in and out, moving out. Now they'll get up on the flat and they'll stay there. You'll be able to pattern for a few days. So that's what we're hoping.
Well, you ought to know.
We'll see what happens. You know, you talk to Wyatt and all the other guys. I think they're fishing another tournament this weekend. All the black whales and all that. Talk to those guys all the time too. You know, and they're really excited too about this higher water because it just gives you so much more areas to fish, man. You know, it's that southeast wind. When we have these southeast winds, when the norther comes, you got about 2 days of good fishing before the southeast wind starts again. You just hope it doesn't blow too hard. But eventually, it'll slow down, and you'll get into a pattern where everything's the same every day, and that's when it gets easy.
Well, that's what I'm wanting. Just some consistency. Just some kind of pattern that's the same all the time.
I know. Well, it sounds like fog has been getting on them. You guys have got more fish, and like you say, you're away from that 21 freeze, and you guys are loading up again. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do is give them a chance.
Have you caught any really big ones yet, Mickey?
No,
up there? Are you
a real a big one up here right now? Is 4.5-5 pounds.
Okay.
The bar has been lowered up here to where that's what everybody calls big fish now.
So all the areas that you used to catch big fish in right now, the fish just need to grow up. They're there, but they're just not
right.
Haven't had enough years.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just takes time, you know. What's the life cycle of a trout? About 8 or 10 years.
Oh yeah. You know, and I talked to people that know Hellman real good. I didn't realize that Hellman's family was in the oyster business and all that.
Oh,
what do you know about oysters?
I mean, they're
But I would love to pick his brain on the oyster situation in Galveston because you guys lost all those reefs. Are they coming back, Mickey? Are they ever coming back? They're not coming back.
That's hurt us more than anything is habitat loss.
Hmm.
It's hard to grow a resource when you don't have any habitat. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, they're growing these oysters in different areas. Why can't they replant them over there? Why can't they get in there and
replant them? Well, you can plant all you want to, but if you have freshwater floods like we've had for the last 10 years,
it kills them.
It kills them.
Mm.
Not to mention
all
the silt that covers the
reef side. It's a weather pattern.
And,
right. So, yeah, it may never come back because it's a weather pattern thing. Mm.
Yeah, it's just we've been in a rut.
Yeah, that's the first oysters I've ever seen down here. It's, you know, they're within about a mile of 30
seconds. Guff water coming in there.
Yep.
It's not too salty.
Nope, that's the first time we've seen
that. And when your water gets too salty, then you get oyster drills, you know, that kill reefs.
Kill the reefs.
Ike was the beginning of what we're going through now, you know, with the hurricane and then the oyster drills, then, you know, with the drought and all that, and then too much fresh water. It's just been a bad 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look
maybe
at the
we
last
get a good 10-year cycle and get it back
and hope it comes back.
Yeah, but that's where your fish come from. Your oysteries. That's all the structure you've got
that's
for your fish.
The big. Y'all have grass that filters all of that, and that's your habitat down there. And up here, we depend on oysters for prime habitat for growing fish and filtering water. And we lost 80% of them.
That's why I love that oyster smell. I went to fish with Jay up in Rockport. That certain smell, that fresh smell that the oyster reefs have, it's just a great smell, man.
I'm telling you.
We kind of had that dead seaweed smell.
All right, buddy. Well, if somebody wants to come down and fish, will you give them a number? They can call you and get hooked up.
All right, Mickey. I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate having me on, Mickey. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, always a pleasure. See you, Cliff. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. You
later.
Too, buddy. All right,
later. All right. All right, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.